With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello and welcome to Frothy, how is a fun, frivolous, lowbrow froth that your group chat excels at. You guys, hello, how are you? It has been a while. I'm really sorry. I took 2 weeks off, slightly unannounced. I knew they were coming, but I don't think I told anybody else about them. But nonetheless, I took 2 weeks off. I had a whale of a time. I hope you guys have had a lovely fortnight since we last spoke. I took 2 weekend trips. I went up to York to visit some friends, and I went down to Devon to have a little weekend getaway. Both were incredible and lovely, and I had so much fun. I think the weirdest highlight of the trip would definitely be in York Station as I was leaving to come home back down to London. I was getting on the train with a backpack and my long shorts are like a little like side like shoulder bag, and I felt I'd packed relatively well. I didn't think I'd overpacked. I was looking a little worse for wear. I was quite tired from the weekend activities, but I felt that I was looking okay. And this American tourist turned around and went, "Oh my god, you're just so cute and tiny," and gave me a hug. And I'm still not over it, because I don't know who this woman was. We didn't speak after that. She went on to her seat. I went to sit in my seat. Thoroughly bizarre, you guys. Like just so, so odd. But yeah, it happened. I think it'll be a memory that sticks with me for some time. I've told a few people about it. I work with some Americans, and I've told some of them. And they weren't surprised. I think one said she expected nothing less. So there you go. Really, really weird. Devon wasn't quite as eventful. Devon was still lovely though. I feel that anyone who's lived in the UK, been here, I don't know, maybe 2 decades, has definitely at some point managed to make it down to Devon. If you haven't yet, I'd recommend. It's beautiful. It's incredibly different to any city, obviously, because it's the countryside. But I had a whale of a time. I can't complain. It was great. So if you're thinking about going on holiday, I'd recommend Devon. But nonetheless, while I have taken a break, the frothy news cycle has not. And my goodness, there has been some interesting things popping up over the last 2 weeks that I think we should definitely talk about. And so, of course, that's what we're here to do. We're here to talk about the best things in the world of pop culture, from celebrities to influencers and all of the nonsense in between. And you're, of course, joined by me, Elle, a London-based 27-year-old writer who spends a lot of time chatting and reading and watching the fun, silly topics that maybe your boss, your parents, your partner, your teachers, whoever, question why you enjoy so much. Each week we're going to be talking about the best bits the pop culture has to offer, of course, and this is your safe space to enjoy, dissect and binge on the frothy nonsense that brings you a smile. If that sounds up your street, then let's dive right in with the best of the brain rot, the silly stories that got us talking. Alright you guys, up first we have to talk about the hot water the hosts of British podcasts Shits and Gigs have found themselves in recently. They've been at the centre of a really bad sort of like PR cycle, but I do personally think they've got themselves out of it. I think whoever they consulted with, whatever advice they were given was bang on, because they owned up, they apologised, and without making too many excuses either, and I think it will have worked. Obviously, I think some of that is slightly, we've got to wait and see, But I do think it will have worked. And so if you don't know what I'm talking about, the award-winning podcast is hosted by James Duncan and Fouad Douado, and it is massive. It's one of Britain's biggest podcasts, I think. They have 1.94 million YouTube subscribers, more than 60,000 positive reviews on Spotify, and just tens of thousands of monthly listeners. Like, this is... it's huge. It's a really big podcast, and it's essentially just two guy friends chatting. Their Apple podcast bio sort of describes it best, I'd say. They're labeled as best friends who try to give their full unfiltered opinion on anything that comes to mind. It can be raw, it might be offensive, but it's always hilarious. And I'll be honest, offensive hit the note this time, guys. But yeah, so very chatty, very casual for the most part, quite silly. They play games, they talk about silly things, they share somewhat embarrassing stories, and they have such great chemistry that it's a really fun listen for the most part. And over the summer, they spent 6 weeks basically traveling America, touring their show, but also making guest appearances on other people's podcasts, including the American podcast Flagrant, hosted by US comedian Andrew Schultz. And this was the interview that got them into some hot water, I think it's fair to say. So the episode was released on the 17th of July. So it has taken about 2 months to really ramp up. And this interview upset fans because they basically saw what James and Fouad had said and laughed about during a conversation about mixed race couples and I'm quoting here, the black girlfriend effect, as racist jokes based on racist stereotypes about black women. And this clip is now absolutely everywhere. Even if Andrew were to pull the original audio or to pull the original video, there's no taking this clip down. Fans and non-fans alike across the world have shared it. I've seen it shared independently, I've seen it shared as like a reaction video, I've seen it clipped up and talked about. This footage is everywhere. The backlash online has been from fans saying that the jokes that the pair made have really played into the angry black woman trope of sort of an overly emotional and aggressive personality, and it makes for really uncomfortable viewing, in my opinion. Like, it's not funny, and it did just leave me feeling a bit like icky and a bit I am not a black woman, I am a white woman, and it wasn't, it's just it's jokes. It just wasn't even jokes. I think that's the thing. It wasn't a joke, it wasn't funny, it was just in my opinion, yeah, them harping on about a stereotype, a damaging stereotype at that. And I will be honest, I think Andrew led the way a little bit, and I do think Andrew was saying the worst of the jokes. You know, at one point he suggested that white men, when dating black women, grow beards because they need a cushion when they get slapped. Like, horrendous stuff. Like, objectively horrendous stuff. He goes on to say, I think the black girlfriend effect might just be a protective instinct. Just abhorrent. Horrid, horrid stuff. And the Shits and Gigs pair, they sort of laugh throughout, they add a little bit, and it obviously hasn't landed well with the fans. So after all of that, after that sort of blow up, last week on Monday, their Monday episode, the podcast pair opened the episode by saying that they were sorry and that there was no excuse for their behaviour, and fully admitting and taking blame for their actions. And when addressing this online reaction, James did say that, you know, Andrew was making a joke, and we were laughing at it, and there's literally no excuse for that. I'm paraphrasing here, guys. He said that he expected to be the person who would stand up and kick the cameras down as and when they found themselves in that kind of situation. But when you are in that situation, you're in shock, and you sort of just laugh along because, you know, it's fight or flight. Fouad completely agreed and said that they basically played along because they just wanted to get out of that situation. James goes on to say, we're sorry. For me, it's one of them ones where you don't realise that when you're part of a community, you don't realise you can hurt your own community. We don't condone, we don't appease that behaviour, we don't rate it, and we don't want you guys to think we were sat in the room rating what was going on. So, you know, they've come out and they've said exactly what needed to be said. And I know that PR guidelines, especially often in such a fast-paced, fast-moving sort of pop culture, internet, online space at the moment, is don't address it. You see it so often with influencer controversies, whether it's, you know, they're not going to address it, they're going to continue posting like normal. And things do start to sort of, you know, cool down. A lot of them then make the mistake of then saying something, saying the wrong thing, blowing it up bigger to what it was before, and causing massive issues. But if you stick with the, you know, silence can't be misquoted kind of guidelines, a lot of people do manage to swim out of their hot water pretty easily. Having said that, I think you couldn't really go for a silence approach on this particular issue, because the footage was everywhere. There was no denying it, there was no avoiding it, and I think at the end of the day, that the boys probably very much felt that, you know, their community, and I do feel that with podcasting there is a certain community that maybe you don't get with some other creative industries. I could be wrong there, but I think they've realised that so many of their community were so upset by what they'd done that they did come out, they called themselves out on it, and they've really owned what they'd done, and I think that apology will go a hell of a long way in building back the trust. I imagine they've really damaged the relationship they had with Andrew, but I do think they will have viewed the relationship with their audience much more highly over the relationship they have with Andrew, and you know, basically understood where their influence comes from, where their support comes from, where the success comes from, and it's not other podcasts, it is an audience, and if you alienate them, you're shooting yourselves in the foot. And I'll be really interested to see whether or not this is still talked about in 3 months' time, whether people are still cross about it, whether anyone is still boycotting the show. Because I don't think they will be. But yeah, let me know what you think. Really interesting. Tell me if you think that actually people still will be boycotting it. I don't know. I think charisma and ownership go a really long way. And these are two boys who know how to chat, who know how to look earnest when they need to. And at the end of the day, I think do care about those kind of things. But yeah, let me know what you think. I think incredibly interesting. You may really disagree. You may also say that, you know, no racist joke can ever be apologised for and moved on from. I think that's wrong, because, you know, we all have to learn, and if you don't get the chance to make the mistake, realise you made the mistake and apologise on from it, then we don't grow. And as they said, they already knew they were making a mistake as it happened. But I can really understand that, you know, when you're a guest somewhere else, it's incredibly hard to step up and say, hey, I'm not doing this isn't happening. So yeah, let me know your thoughts. I'm interested as ever. I will be watching it with beady eyes, I think it's fair to say. Alright guys, and then your second story is another podcasting duo behaving badly, and that is Matt and Abby Howard. If you don't know who Matt and Abby are, they are not only podcasters, they're also TikTokers, YouTubers, Instagrammers, and they really blew up during the pandemic when they started sharing their lives online. But they're married. They now have two young children, aged 1 and 2. And they faced some really heavy media backlash in the last couple of weeks, I think it's fair to say, because they left their two very young children sleeping alone on a cruise ship. And they did that, and then they told the whole world about it. They put it all over Abby's stories, and sort of promoted it as some sort of like parenting hack. And a lot of the world rightly were quite upset by this, and weren't afraid to share those feelings. But to give a little more of a backstory on who Matt and Abby are, they are 26 and 25 years old. They are married, they obviously have two young sons, and they live near Phoenix, Arizona in America. On YouTube, they've got 7.3 million subscribers. On TikTok, their account sort of currently sits at about 5.3 million followers, which is just huge. And they've been childhood sweethearts. They started dating at the age of 13, which I'm not sure you can call dating, but they started dating at the age of 13 when they met at theatre camp, which is really sweet. They have a podcast called Unplanned, named after their viral 2022 moment when they announced the pregnancy of their second child. And their second child, called August, surprise, surprise, was unplanned. They had their first Griffin in 2021 and found out they were pregnant with their second when Griffin was only 5 months old. And Abby, bless her, this video, it's quite a hard watch, guys. She is very upset. Really not ready to have a second baby so soon. You know, Griffin, their first, was still so young. And Abby is just, like, in tears. And in respect to Matt, he apparently was asleep and she went to go get him so he could sort of find out on camera as well. He's a little passive with his reassurance, in my opinion. If I was as upset as Abby was and in Abby's situation, I'd need a little more get up and go from Matt. But, you know, they're happy. That's all that matters. So, yeah, an unplanned pregnancy, and they launched their podcast with the same name. And they sort of they do a lot of interviews on there with other influencers who make similar content to them in the same kind of field. It's basically cross-pollination of audiences, you know. But within that, Matt really he shows a side to himself that you don't see on their other social media platforms. And often, I'm going to be honest, guys, not for the better. He is... Put it this way, I think Abby is definitely the shining star out of the two of them, and often with the ridiculous things Matt comes out with, you know, you very much get the impression in the comments section that if the pair were to ever split, everyone is very much on Team Abby, and I don't think Matt would get a positive light shown on him. And you can actually see that with a viral moment they had this year when they announced on the podcast that for 2024, they would not be celebrating Father's Day, the American Father's Day date, and instead they would be celebrating it 3 months later. And the reason for this, and I'm not joking here, guys, is that Father's Day lands on Matt's birthday, apparently. And he was very upset that last year, while Abby was pregnant with their second child, she combined the 2 days and the two celebrations, and she hosted a family barbecue for everybody. But because she was doing other stuff, including looking after their first child and being pregnant with their second, he had to do his own grilling, and he just wasn't impressed. So they've had a talk about it. He's explained that he does want 2 days, and so they're celebrating his birthday on his actual birthday, and they are pushing Father's Day down the year 3 months. Which is ridiculous on so many levels, and I think the whole world agreed. They certainly told him as such. But either way, I think it's fair to say the pair are semi-used to going viral. They have a huge and growing following. And, you know, their content very much centres around them now being not only a couple, but a family as well. And so with that, when they do family activities or they take their family places, that is what their content focuses on. And this is where sort of the last week or so's real hiccups have emerged. Abby shared on her Instagram stories that their toddlers weren't enjoying the kids club on board of the cruise they've gone on with their extended family. And so what they'd done is they'd put the kids to bed in their cabins and FaceTimed the child monitors so that the couple could go out for dinner with their family. And so what she said here is that she's left the children unattended. The children are in two separate rooms because they'd booked two rooms so the kids wouldn't disturb each other. So the kids are separate, by themselves, both under the age of 3. And the pair are posting in real time. Everyone knows which cruise they're on. I'm sure from... And everyone knows what sort of where they're docking, what they're doing. So if you're into cruising and you're a bit of a creep, you could probably work out which ship they were on. And because they have such a large following, and with large followings, especially around families, let's be honest, you get the creeps. I think people were rightly incredibly concerned that these effectively famous children were being left completely sort of unprotected. Like, just thoroughly, thoroughly odd. And I don't understand how the pair didn't sort of clock that this was going to cause such backlash. So Abby put it on her stories. The world obviously went mad. Abby pulled it off her stories, and then they sort of had a few days of utter radio silence as word like spread across the internet. Everyone was fuming. We had articles written about it. Influencers sharing their thoughts. Normal, you know, your everyday Joes on TikTok were sharing their thoughts. Everyone had something to say. And I think what caused so much backlash and what was so confusing to so many people is that they've gone on this cruise with an extended family, and the entire family had decided that it was okay to leave these kids solo. And so this all kind of brewed for a couple of days. Matt and Abby limited their comments on Instagram. They were sort of getting backlash from every angle. And they then posted a video on TikTok, so on their joint TikTok account, saying that, you know, everyone had got it a little bit wrong. And that, you know, Abby had accidentally misled everyone in the Instagram stories. And that, yes, while the kids were sleeping separately and the couple were FaceTiming the baby monitors, there was also a member of their family looking after the kids. She just hadn't mentioned that part. And therefore, you know, could understand where everyone had come to this conclusion that, well, that they'd left their babies by themselves. And it's all just been a little bit odd. The cat even accused the pair of rage baiting their followers. I don't know whether that's the case or not. Whatever it was, it worked. I was aware of the pair beforehand, but I wasn't a follower. But I was fed so much of this content from what felt like at least 20 different creators that I knew what they were doing sort of blow for blow, and I didn't have to be on their channels at all. I then obviously went to look at the videos myself. So I was then, you know, new traffic, new engagement, boosting that algorithm. And I wouldn't be surprised if they had a reel, despite, you know, limiting their comments and despite not posting, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a real sort of peak in profits this month from that sort of controversy alone. But yeah, the pair have gone right back to posting their normal content, which I do think will work. The internet moves so quickly, as we talked about in the last segment, that people will move on. Whether they will forget it, I don't think so. I think when the next Matt and Abby hiccup occurs, and it will, because we know that it will, we've seen in the past they have a history of doing this, I think this will be brought up again. But I do think it generates way too much income for them to sort of, you know, think about not sharing so much of their family at the moment or anything of the sort. So to me, I think back to normal programming. So I do think they'll go back to normal programming. I think they'll continue to profit off having their kids in the videos or being young parents. And hey, if you can make money from it and the kids are safe, that's great. I'd argue the kids weren't safe, but we also don't know that for certain now, given that they've explained there was a family member in the room. So yeah, let me know what you think. Do you think there was a family member in the room? I don't know. I'd like to think there was, so I think I'm going to say there was. Do you think they're rage baiting? I suspect they are somewhat. Though it feels a little malicious. I don't know. Maybe I'm too enamoured and too swept away by sort of how sweet Abby comes across as being. Let me know your thoughts. I'm really interested to hear them, as always. And yeah, let me know what you think. Did you believe the Matt and Abby drama? Were you surprised? Were you even aware of it at all? Had it come across your feed? Or was this a very niche part of the internet that just felt like it was so much bigger because my algorithm was full of it? Alright, you guys, up next we've got Pop to Pin, and it has just started raining. I'm really hoping you can't hear it, but if you can, I apologise profusely. But Pop to Pin is something that, you know, I've shallow dived this week. I'm hoping to get back to because it's caught my eye, and I think you'd find it interesting too. And that is, guys, the breaking news that Philip Schofield is returning to TV after 16 months away. He obviously quit this morning last year after it emerged that he had a consensual and a legal, but maybe not best advised, affair with a younger co-worker that they'd then lied about, I believe, before it all came out. He is coming back to TV for Channel 5's Castaway series, which is when it's just the celebrity, the camera equipment, and nothing else on an island. Or at least that's the premise. Whether or not they're actually entirely alone, I have no idea. But yeah, he's coming back, and he's coming back in a strong way. I've seen a couple of headlines suggesting it wasn't a wise move, but I have read no more than that. So I have no further thoughts, but I am very excited to see what's what. When he was on This Morning, was one of my favourite presenters. He's really good at his job. Him and Holly had great chemistry. I loved watching them. I think it's fair to say he's definitely had a very turbulent time the last couple of years. And so in some ways this move doesn't surprise me, because he has been full of surprises over the last few years. So maybe this was to be expected, but I'm also not sure I would have predicted it for 2024. But yeah, let me know what you think. Have you read anything about it? I want to know. Are you going to be watching it? I want to know. I am really interested and will definitely be sort of digging in a little bit further, because how could you not? It's Philip Schofield on Castaway. I just gobsmacked. And also, yeah, of course. Like, of course he's doing that. Yeah. Of course we should have all seen that coming. But yeah, nonetheless, really silly, really exciting, thoroughly bizarre. And I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. Up next, we've got recommendations. And I watched something I loved the other day, so I think you're going to love it too. It's called Child Star. It's on Disney. It's a documentary originally by Star, but they've put it on Disney. So I'm not sure how long it's been out prior to being on the streaming service, but I really enjoyed it. It's a documentary hosted majoritively by Demi Lovato, and she basically interviews past child stars to sort of hear about their experiences on set, to sort of hear about their home lives and, you know, why they fell into the world of sort of child acting or child performing, and the impact that has had. I loved it. I was really interested whenever she spoke to Jojo Siwa, who I cannot get over the level of sort of merchandising they did with her image. It's a little crazy, if I'm going to be entirely honest. Like, I'm still a little gobsmacked by it. But yeah, she interviews Raven Simone from That's So Raven, obviously Jojo Siwa, Kenan Thompson, Drew Barrymore, Alison Stoner, like so many famous faces, so many famous children who are obviously now adults, and everyone comes across so well. I think it's a really interesting watch. I think it's really interesting to hear how everyone views their parents within this, and I do think for such a complex matter she does it really pretty well. I've not seen anyone else really talk about it yet, so I've no idea if I am alone in thinking it's a really great documentary. But I'd give it a watch if you're interested, if you're looking for something sort of not too intense. It doesn't get too dark, which is a pretty successful achievement given the whole topic of child stars. But yeah, let me know what you think. Give it a watch. 10 out of 10 would recommend. And then my second recommendation, guys, is a skincare product. I don't have the best skin, and when I'm stressed or overworked or overtired, or I've not exercised enough, or I've drunk too much, or basically if anything isn't going perfectly, then I break out. And actually, currently, I've not only broken out massively like around my chin, but I've also been bitten alive by the mozzies in Devon. And I have several bites on my face, which I've never had before. But my God, are they itchy? And they look like spots, but they're not. And they're big and red. And it's just not a look. It's not a look at all. You know, it's fine. There are so many worse things going on. Worse things happen at sea. But my skin is, it's never the happiest. And it's not great at the moment. But, that aside, I have found a moisturiser that my skin absolutely loves, and I feel I've tried everyone under the sun. I've done the most expensive, I've done the cheapest. It's never really happy with any of them. But number 7's Derm Solutions moisturisers are lovely, but I have been using the lightweight hydrating lotion for oily and blemish prone skin, and it is so nice. It doesn't clog my pores, it's not giving me any more spots, it doesn't feel like I'm wearing anything. It comes in a cute little bottle, it's like hand cream kind of size, so you can like chuck it in your work bag if you wanted to, and it has really helped my skin over the summer. I'm really excited to use it through the winter. I think it's going to be a huge help. But yeah, that's my second recommendation. I know, a little random, I know, very different, but if you are someone who struggles even a little bit, I would recommend giving it a go. I think it's about £15 max, so you know, it's not expensive, but you are shelling out a little bit of cash in my opinion. Like, £15 isn't to be sniffed at. But it is working wonders for me, so much so that I have bought a second one. I accidentally didn't buy the oil and blemish prone skin one, I bought the dry skin one, so we'll see how that goes. But aside from that, I'd really recommend it. Even I think if you don't have acne issues, if you've got lovely beautiful skin, I'm A, very jealous, but B, definitely give it a go anyway if you're looking for a new moisturiser, because it has been perfect and I have no comments on it. No tweaks needed. 10 out of 10. I say that a lot. I really say 10 out of 10 a lot, but that's beside the point. But yes, I would recommend it. Give it a go. If you got this far, thank you so much for listening. It's pretty clear, I think, that it's a small independent podcast. So please do tell a friend, tell your sibling, tell your cousin, tell anybody you think might enjoy this. And subscribe so you get the first to know when next week's episode drops. It really helps the podcast in the charts. And if you like what you heard, please follow us on Instagram at Frothy Podcast, which is just, you know, fun as much as anything else. But yeah, again, sorry for the 2-week delay. There's just a lot going on. Work has been manic, life is busy, but this is one of my favourite things I'm doing at the moment. So I will be back on Sunday with another episode, and then back to regular Sunday streaming for, you know, the foreseeable, for sure. But thank you so much, and have a lovely rest of your day. I'm not the one who's always right.